Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome back to Chip Chat Live. We're at the Intel Developer Forum on Tuesday, September 10th. And I'm back with Kumar Balasubramanian, General Manager of the Intelligent Solutions Group with Intel. Welcome.
Good afternoon, guys.
So, Kumar, the topic for today is the Internet of Things. And we heard that term used in the keynotes this morning. But can you just ground the audience with the definition of how Intel sees and scopes the Internet of Things?
Oh, absolutely. It's my pleasure, right? One easy way to kind of introduce the topic is it's the hottest buzzword around, right, in the industry itself, right, not just Intel. But I personally feel that if you look at it, right, there's really very good reasons for us to get super excited about this whole world called Internet of Things. Unlike many of the other things like cloud computing or other things, here, the IoT markets are actually one of these phenomenal opportunities for us to completely transform the way, right, people lead their lives at a society level, or at the individual level, or at commercial business levels, right? Think about it, right? When people talk about wearables or other kinds of IoT markets, what they're really saying is that if there's a lot of information that can be gathered about the environment where we are going, it could be a car that is gathering a lot of information, it could be a traffic infrastructure that's gathering a lot of information, it could just be the examples that they were talking about in today's keynote, where Rene mentioned smart cities, right? There are so many different ways where information can be gathered to just make us get smarter about the environment we live in. And as a consequence of that intelligent information, we figure out as to how do we make good use of it to improve our business opportunities, our personal lives, our lives as a society. So it's a pretty compelling opportunity as I see it. In my view, right, if we look back from the 90s, when it was like the PC era, that completely gave a very, very large transformational opportunity for us, right, to transform many things at business levels and personal levels. Then I think a decade later, you had the whole internet and mobile computing, right, those two that followed very quickly. Moving forward over the next decade, I see that the ability for people to have IoT deployments, right, more affordable and cheaper and rapid deployment, becoming the next big wave that transforms the businesses and individuals, right?
So when you think about all those things, I've seen, you know, reports of, you know, up to, $100 billion by the end of the decade, or,
right,
you know, just crazy
yes.
numbers. You know, when we think about, you know, a lot of people think, oh, device growth, yeah, cell phones, we're going to cross over into a space where there's more cell phones than humans on the planet.
Right.
That's not going to get us to that $100 billion number. So tell me, what are all these things that are using computing and we heard about some of them in the keynote today, sensors and those kind of things, but what is the range here?
Predictions are predictions, right? But if you look at some very simple ways, like just don't get hung up in all the details and technologies, but if you look at it as if very cheap access to devices that can be connected is made available to the industry in extremely large volume, what happens? You have examples like people going and improving the water system, people going and improving the electrical system, people going and improving the health system, people improving the traffic infrastructure that you have, right? There's so many slew of actual usages that get to be transformed that when you sum them all up, no amount of prediction is going to be accurate enough to see how we reach to that. I won't be surprised if you find that the innovation in the industry over the next decade surpasses all these numbers just by sheer innovative crowd, you know, kind of audience at a global level, right?
We are taking questions from the audience, so if you've got a question for Kumar, just raise your hand and we'll get to you. Obviously, all of these devices are going to compute and they're going to connect, which suggests that they're going to create data that needs to be stored and analyzed. What do you guys have any predictions in terms of the relationship to the growth of devices and the growth of data that they're creating?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it is why we call this the big data, right? The IoT, in some sense, is really about these large petabytes of data that is going to be created. If we know that the advent of cloud computing kind of completely exploded the storage space, then I think the advent of IoT markets is only going to double or triple that whole rate of growth. But more than that, I think the reason for us to get excited about is what will people do with that is what is going to be completely transformational, right? I foresee that the amount of business model innovation that will come out of the entrepreneurs out there is going to be just as compelling as the technology innovation that people will introduce here. In some ways, I can say that IoT is more about, from a technology perspective, how do you integrate lots of technologies that are already out there into different domains where they have not been used and put into practice yet? But the bigger opportunities are going to be about how do people think about usages that will actually go and transform the way things are done today. And from there, right, people will probably innovate business models like we haven't seen those kinds of business model innovation in the past. So I personally feel the combination of these technology innovation, business model innovation, will be the actual primary drivers. How do you go and transform business value out of these things? And then the fact that the data growth will actually be explosive is a consequence of those actions.
So obviously you're the right guy to ask this question, which is what is Intel's role in all of this? And what is the challenge in terms of our silicon investment and our product delivery in addressing the wide range of solutions that is needed in this market?
Right. So this one way to look at it, right, is like when you have such diverse usages, it presents opportunities, but it also presents barriers and challenges, right? One simple thing is that there are so many domain experts, right? You can't expect the technology industry to be the experts in how do you do water treatment, how do you do energy power distribution, how do you do fleet management, and so on. There's so many different domains. So what is very critical in here is the marriage of the domain experts with the technology industry, right? That's going to be very critical in how we actually go and play a role. So Intel's role is really going to be about if we help bring the IT technologies much closer to the vision that these domain experts have and make it where the kinds of vision that they have about the solutions they want to deploy are things that we facilitate for rapid deployment, then we know that the industry is working together effectively towards the desired end goals, right? So Intel's role is going to be far more than just silicon. It's going to be about how do you help produce what I call integrated platforms that allow these domain experts to innovate and bring the end-to-end deployments at a faster rate. We're not going to obviously do these kind of integrated platforms all by ourselves. We're going to take some hardware and software pieces that we will produce as our innovation, work very closely with the different leading global players and regional players in the different industries, and together look for how did we make it easy for such deployments to happen in the markets.
I think we have a question in the audience.
So with all this power that we give the Internet of Things, how do we protect ourselves from catastrophes? I still remember the day where Wall Street almost went down when the computers decided at the same time to sell, right? And they had to stop trading after 600 points or something. What happens if whole cities stop or, and other things happen? Sometimes it may be a malice intent or sometimes just a bad algorithm that causes everything to fail. So aren't we creating many points of failure in the system?
Oh, absolutely. This is an absolutely fantastic question because when you look at all these diverse usages, they're going to have different behavioral patterns, right? Like you called out, right? Let's take an energy infrastructure, right? People are not going to be interested in seeing that some Internet of Things is being deployed in their nuclear power plant and exposing them to all sorts of security holes. On the other hand, a jogger who is doing some wearables, right, and is actually just using the Internet of Things in a simpler way, is probably going to be not as worried about this, right? So there's a whole, what I'm pointing out is there's a whole diversity, a whole range of security concerns that are going to pop up. Even as an individual, people do care about the security, but it gets tremendously, tremendously mission critical as you get to more complicated situations like an infrastructure of a city or, of a nuclear power plant and so on. This is the reason why, right, we feel it's going to take a very serious levels of partnership with domain experts. There are people who understand the energy infrastructure as an example. They understand the kinds of security they're demanding. Today, the better the understanding is about how it is being secured, it will allow the information industry, the IT technology industry, to absorb that and figure out what's the phased approach with which you introduce these things you can't actually go and say that we have a solution that worked in the enterprise and here's a blueprint, just take it and adopt it in your place. Many of these are arenas that I think IT industry has not crossed before. It is going to be a learning curve. But there are lots of good security experts in the industry, right? Not just Intel, that will probably have to go and get past this learning curve by working with the respective domains. But very usage dependent, right?
You know, obviously you probably work with a very wide selection of industries and customers in terms of delivering products. You know, a lot of talk around wearables and sensors. But is there an area that has been specifically intriguing to you that you'd want to call out as a, you know, an industry or an application that has taken a great advantage of embedding intelligence and using that to further?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's lots of examples, right, that I think Rene gave one example this morning in the context of this water stuff. But here's another example, right? There is a very major supplier who, in the HVAC industry, they build lots of air conditioners and chillers and all those kinds of things, what do you call, that have been deployed for the last 20, 30 years by these players. But when they started thinking about their role play in the emerging world of Internet of Things, they realized that more than just the metal box provider of an air conditioner or a chiller or something, they're actually a huge source of information about the energy system across an entire commercial building. Think about an Empire State Building. If you have a lot of information about how the energy is flowing, then you can do very powerful stuff and completely transform the way you do warranty for that, the way you do kind of maintenance of that, the way you do preventive maintenance of those things, the way you do actually diagnostics, right, remotely. You completely change not just your own line of business and your own thinking about your own product line, but in this particular example, right, it actually changed the entire insurance business that is related to that market, the entire what you call part supply business that is related to the market, only because in the context of Internet of Things, they were able to go and extract information more real-time and remotely, right? So I think we're going to see many more of these kinds of transformational use cases over time.
You know, I think the biggest moment in the keynotes this morning was the announcement of the Quark series of processors. You know, obviously sitting under our Atom line, but obviously at the heart of some of the markets that you're trying to serve for IoT. Can you tell us about your vision for how those fit into the solutions we're delivering?
Yes. So I think for the information technology industry, it is a lot easier to understand that at the end of the day, usages come in different flavors, different colors, different shapes, right? So when you look at solutions that we want to go offer to these different industries, right, it's going to be a marriage between these what we call the traditionally embedded world or, you know, these different domains. When you do that, you have to offer a family of solutions because there's no such thing like one size fits all. It's not like I have a standard PC platform and I go and push it and no matter what domain you're trying to go deploy your IoT solutions, it'll be fine, right? It's more about looking at how do we actually understand these things and offer the range of products? So today what you saw is an announcement of Quark that helps us penetrate with offerings that are suited for markets where the demands on power and size and all those things of the integrated solutions is much more demanding at very low levels of embedded sensors and, you know, other markets, the what you call gateway markets in IoT and so on, which is very different from a higher compute model that you expect inside the data center. So the idea is to provide a range of very aggressive offerings that allows these diverse usages to get to deployments at a faster rate.
I like the brand name too, especially falling under Atom. It's a nice and geeky for me.
Yes. You can just imagine how many people lost some hair trying to find the right brand name.
Can imagine. Do we have any other questions from the audience? It looks like everybody's had a good first day at IDF, Kumar. Well, I will ask you this final question. You know, obviously IoT is a huge topic, and you guys have huge plans for IDF. Tell us about a couple highlights from your week and things that you'd like the online audience to clue into in terms of finding out more about Internet of Things from Intel.
To me, I think the most exciting thing is this one area where I find that no matter which partner I talk to, the entire IT industry is absolutely, right, completely excited about partnering and actually going as a united front to make this happen. I find it very, very encouraging and re-energizing for all of us, right, to go and address this space together, right? And as far as what are we going to be introducing, I think that over the next couple months, if you kind of keep your pulse on some of the news coming out from our end, you'll see some very good, compelling kind of products that will actually be introduced, right, along with our partners. The exciting part for me is that many of these vision or PowerPoint stuff that people talk about are not 5 years away or a decade away. They're actually very close to being, you know, just a quarter away or two quarters away from being introduced. So lots of fun stuff ahead. And I wish you guys the very best at the rest of IDF. Hopefully you'll enjoy all of the days that you're going to be here. Okay? Thanks.
Well, if you'd like more information about Internet of Things, you can go to Intel's website, search for Internet of Things. There's quite a robust, your marketing team is doing a good job.
Yes, and we're just getting started.
Yeah, exactly. Quite a robust presence there if you want to find out about all of the technology behind of what's driving this. Thank you so much, Kumar. I know your schedule's busy. Thanks for making time for us today.
Thank you, Allison. I appreciate it. Okay.
And we will be back live casting tomorrow on Block Talk Radio, and we'll have a couple more interviews this afternoon, 4 o'clock with IBM and 4:30 with HP.